allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
One of the proudest citizens of the United States ever.
I love this American ride.
Simon Conway. On Des Moines News Radio, 1040 WHO.
All right, hopefully Matt, who called in at the end, is still listening. I have already passed on your personal information, which you shared with me, to the senator's office. I have no doubt that someone will get back to you, if not actually the senator herself. But someone will definitely get back to you, Matt. So thanks for calling in. Appreciate it. All right, we always have a daily poll. We've been talking about the New York Times foreign correspondent who tweeted out, "Free speech aside..." Just amazing. "Free speech aside, why would anyone do something as provocative as hosting a Muhammad drawing contest?" she said. Anyway, so we put our poll based on that comment and others very similar to it that we found on Twitter. Carsten Lundy.
Well, here's the breakdown so far. Should anything that's insulting to religious beliefs be banned? Yes, at 2% right now.
That's amazing to me that anyone would click yes, but
yeah,
okay.
Yeah. No's have the majority right now. 55% of those responding to this poll say no.
Mm-hmm.
9% say we don't need the First Amendment to protect non-offensive speech.
Mm-hmm.
34% say terrorists need to understand that here we shoot back.
Mm.
0% don't know, 0 don't care.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. I still can't believe anybody clicked yes. Anyway, you can find that poll. We'd love you to take part. Please go to my Facebook, facebook.com/simon.conway.1776. Please click the like button while you are there. And there you will also find, you'll find the story of Marcus Luttrell and Rick Perry. I got to tell you, 4 years ago, Marcus Luttrell told me the story of him and Rick Perry, but he told it to me privately, and so I never shared it with you. He is now sharing that. There's a video. It's powerful stuff. I suggest you watch it. Also, have you ever wondered, Carsten, what your server was really thinking?
Like at a restaurant?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? We got a video. BuzzFeed has interviewed a bunch of them, and they're telling you.
That could be embarrassing.
Yeah, so that's on my Facebook as well. And, and then there's Al Sharpton and his encounter with a reporter in Baltimore. That's a very interesting video as well. So all that is on my Facebook, facebook.com/simon.conway.1776. Please click the like button while you are there. Carsten, good weekend.
Yeah, not bad. I'm a little sleepy.
Yeah?
Not going to lie to you, I am.
And how about Saturday? Was Saturday a good day?
It wasn't the best day.
No?
But, it was all right. Sunday was a better day.
Did you find time on Saturday to take part in World Naked Gardening Day?
I did not.
Really?
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't have a garden. So, you know,
I don't either.
I couldn't.
I don't. Well, maybe I have a little garden. I don't mm-hmm. My mom's got a little tomato garden. I suppose I could have gone out there and...
Strikes me as a very dangerous thing to have, World Naked Gardening Day.
Dangerous?
Yes.
Okay.
Because, you know, there's things that can get hurt.
Oh, well, sure.
When you get that weed whacker out.
Right.
Man.
Yeah.
That's
woo!
Woo! Don't really want to think about it. If you took part in World Naked Gardening Day, you can give us a call at 284-1040, 800-469-4295, and tell us how it was for you. Because we really want to know. I want to find anyone that took part in World Naked Gardening Day on Saturday. And why world? I mean, you know, usually we start a bit more locally than that. I've never heard of Iowa Naked Gardening Day.
No, but we could start one.
Or even... Really? Could we do it in another state?
Well, yeah. At least not in my neighborhood.
Yes. Iowa Naked Gardening Day, but not in my neighborhood.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a nice title, actually. It's got a little, you know.
I like it.
Rolls off the tongue.
Yeah.
Mm. Carsten.
Yeah.
Would you take one step inside a 57-story skyscraper that took the Chinese 19 days to build.
No.
It's a little bit worrying, isn't it?
Yes. 19 days?
19 days, 57-story high-rise.
Made by Chinese. That's like the Made in China sticker.
It has 800 apartments and office space for 4,000 workers. The company used a modular method, piecing together the structure at the rapid pace of 3 floors per day.
Wow. Modular, you say?
Yes.
No, I'm staying away from that one.
Okay. They're very excited now, though. Having achieved that, they now plan to assemble a 220-floor building. Count them. Well, floor skyscraper in a place called Changsha. They think they can get that thing put up in 3 months.
Yeah, no.
Would you take one step inside that building?
Mm-mm.
Would you stand in the shadow of that building?
No. In fact, what city is this?
Changsha.
Yeah, I won't be booking any flights anywhere near that.
Changsha.
Don't even want to be anywhere near that when that thing topples.
That's amazing. It might tell you a little bit about building inspections.
Well, yeah, that's my question. Were there any building inspections? If so, what are the standards?
Well, there must have been fairly quick building inspections.
Yeah.
19 days to put up a 57-story building. Mm. And 3 months to put up a 220-story building. Wow.
If safe, that's pretty amazing, though.
If safe. I guess we'll find out in the next 10, 20 years or so, right?
Yeah, or next day or two, we'll see.
Uh-huh. Good. Okay, so we've got all that going on. We've got plenty of other stuff going on as well. We've got some history, by the way. And I really have to talk to you about... something that's going on in North Carolina right now, and forfeiture laws. This is disgusting. Be warned. Not disgusting. It's Jim Brown.
Thank you.
Well, I've got to, make sure everybody understands.
I appreciate that.
So there's no kind of leakage. You don't want any leakage of the stories in the segue handing over to Jim Brown.
Yeah, leakage is disgusting.
Leakage is really
bad.
Leakage is not something anybody...
leakage right now.
Nobody wants any leakage.
One of the proudest Americans ever, Simon Conway, on News Radio 1040 WHO.
Crash and burn. Crash and burn.
Simon Conway Show, News Radio 1040 WHO. You know what we haven't done yet today, Carson?
What's that?
History. Got to do history.
No history. Well, we got to do that.
Yeah. This day in history. Remember when the boat hit Manhattan in 1626?
Yeah. Of course I do.
I think Jim Brown called that.
Yeah, he did.
I think he was there calling that. Well, the Indians sold him the whole place for $24 in beads, buttons, and cloth.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pretty good deal. That happened this day, 1626, for Manhattan. This day in history, 1715, and you might want to be grateful for this. The very first folding umbrella debuted in France.
All right. Day like this.
Yes, you might need that tonight.
Yep.
This day in history, the year 1932, Al Capone locked up for tax evasion.
Ooh.
That's how they got him. And he went down this day in history, 1932. We're coming to tax in a minute. And this day in history, 1970, terrible day. National Guardsmen shot 4 Kent State students during a Vietnam War protest. Not a good day for America that day.
No, it wasn't.
Let's talk about the IRS. Civil forfeiture. This is so insidious. We've been talking about this locally recently here in Iowa. Well, spare a thought for Lyndon McClellan of North Carolina. He runs a rural convenience store. This is really frightening, Carsten. His convenience store includes a gas station and a lunch counter. He has just had his bank account seized by the IRS. It contains $107,000. What did they use? Civil forfeiture laws. Why did they do it? Well, he takes a lot of cash at his convenience store. And his deposits, remember, it's rural North Carolina, are always under the number that you have to have in order for the bank to report to the IRS. That number's 10 grand. And so because of that, they've taken his money. He has not been accused of any crime. No crime. He said, when he was talking to the local Fox 8 affiliate, he said, it took 13 years to get it. Now, think about that. That means he was able to save less than $10,000 a year over 13 years to get his $107,000, right? And it took 13 seconds for them to take it. So he aroused their suspicion by frequently depositing less than $10,000. At $10,000, you put 10 grand into a bank, they are going to report that to the IRS for investigation. But because all his deposits were less than $10,000, the IRS became suspicious. He said, to make this kind of money selling soft drinks, cigarettes and hot dogs, somebody's got to work. It wasn't handed to us, but it was taken from us. This is truly disgusting. Now, with civil forfeiture, remember, there's no crime. So you have to prove your innocence. None of this guilty until proven innocent garbage. No, actually, there is guilty until proven innocent garbage. None of this innocent until proven guilty garbage. The IRS, however, has said, hey, you don't have to do any of that. Just let us keep half of it and we won't have to go to court. Remember, no crime has been committed. No crime has been accused. They've just taken 107,000 of this man's dollars. It could happen to you. News Radio 1040 WHO.
Traffic congestion. We've got your remedy. Traffic and weather on the fives. Mornings and afternoons on News Radio 1040 WHO.
I'm very pleased to say that joining us right now is somebody who's become a friend of mine over the last few years. He is Dr. Fahim Yunus from Muslim American. Now, you and I have spoken in the past about the depiction of the Prophet Muhammad, be it in a cartoon or even a very respectable painting, you know, like almost a portrait. Both of those are highly offensive to you.
In Islam, we try not to depict the Prophet's image, but what is far more offensive to me than any cartoon, Simon, as a member of Ahmadiyya Muslim community, is when somebody is threatened in the name of my Prophet, when somebody's killed in the name of my Prophet. That is far more offensive to, or it should be far more offensive to any Muslim than any cartoon, because we live in a free society. As much as I disagree with that cartoon, as much as I despise it, I believe that I should not threaten anybody, that I should react with my words, with my discourse, rather than with force. So I strongly reject that kind of response from a fringe group within Muslims.
And I'm always grateful that you stand up, sir. Every time we have this conversation or a conversation like it, I'm always extremely grateful that you are prepared to stand up, because there are many in the Muslim community that do not stand up.
That is correct. It's a fight between a bad interpretation of my faith and a good interpretation. And that's why I always try to tell people that, you know, ask the right question. When America talks about Sharia law, I think that's the wrong question. It's a very broad term. The Sharia asks me to treat men and women equally. You don't want me to reject that. I think a far better question for all of the media today is to ask American organizations, ISNA, ICNA, all these large organizations, do you denounce blasphemy laws? Forget about free speech. We all agree with free speech. These are the groups deep down. They're the ones in their countries. They have blasphemy laws. You know, they will put people to jail and to death for these cartoons. They're bringing the same mentality to USA. That has to be exposed.
Mm, it does, and it has to be stopped. You see, I mean, I wouldn't go out of my way to insult anybody's religion. Your religion, Christianity. I'm Jewish. I make that very clear. You know that about me. I wouldn't go out of my way to insult anybody's religion. But here's what gets lost in the conversation about free speech in this country. We have the First Amendment to protect free speech. Now, if the speech was non-offensive, we wouldn't need the First Amendment to protect it. The First Amendment exists precisely to defend and stand up for offensive free speech, because what's offensive to you may not be offensive to me, and therefore we all need to be free to say what we feel and what we think and all that other stuff. So, you know, if you look at what happened with that event last night, I understand completely that is offensive to you on a very personal level. Equally, I have Mormon friends. Well, guess what? The Book of Mormon is deeply offensive to them, the stage musical that won a Tony Award. Deeply offensive to them. I think it was The Passion of the Christ that depicted Jesus as gay. Deeply offensive to my religious Christian friends. But here's the fundamental difference that we see between those people being offended and the extremists who use your religion as their raison d'etre. Yes, I can speak a little French. They go out and shoot people, and I know agree. I know they're corrupting your religion when they do that. But the vast majority of us don't get it, because there are so few people like you, Fahim, who are prepared to stand up.
I believe the Ahmadiyya Muslim community globally is standing up. We are in 200 countries, as you know. We are united at the hand of the Khalifa. But here's a larger point. I have written about this topic, and I can send you that op-ed later on. But here's the point. I don't believe that I, as a Muslim, am looking for any laws to restrict speech. Mm-hmm. I'm not going for the American Constitution. I'm going after the American conscience. Mm-hmm. I'm not looking for a legal code. I'm looking for a social code. What I mean by that is, in this country, we will not go out and have a similar program and mock the Holocaust. Mm-hmm. Our social code will not allow us to do that, though there is no law against it. I just want the same treatment for my prophet. I'm looking for equal treatment. I'm not looking for special treatment. The problem here, Simon, is Pam Geller is being classified as a hate group by the Southern Poverty Law. Many Jewish groups despise her. She's just looking for attention. And I was so happy, honestly. This was a 2-3 day event. Every day I was happy that nothing has happened. Nobody's covering her. She is dying to get press and media. And some nutcases did this horrific act and basically gave her her wish. That is my only problem, that she is not some free speech lover and advocate. Everybody knows. There's so much data about it. And I asked her the other day, I was on Sean Hannity with her, and I point blank asked her that, why is it that many other Jewish groups despise you? Mm-hmm. You know, she doesn't stand for anybody. This is someone who's a narcissist, in my opinion, who's simply looking for attention, and we should not give it to her.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know Pam Geller. Pam Geller has been on my show in the past, and I think you're right. If this had not had happened, if this act of terrorism, I like to call it what it is, if this act of terrorism had not taken place last night, this event would have passed, and nobody would have talked about it. But now, what's going on? It's not the attention that Pam Geller has got. It's what's happening in our social media, which now, unfortunately, fortunately, depending on where you stand, does lead the news. You know, there was a tweet put out by a foreign correspondent of the New York Times last night. I completely called her out on it immediately because the foreign correspondent of the New York Times says in a tweet, "Free speech aside, Why would anyone do something as provocative as hosting a Muslim drawing? Now, I'm sorry. The New York Times, free speech aside, are you freaking kidding me? That's the debate that has now begun, because people are now saying that this shouldn't have happened.
You know, don't you think that what the Pope said to it, I think the Pope answered it very nicely last time when the horrific acts of Charlie Hebdo happened. He said, if you mock my mother, you can expect a punch. I think that's what they're saying. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. It's just foreseeable. The problem is, there's a certain consequence. You do something, you know you're getting, you know, this is provocative, this is insightful. I hope that nobody, translates this as I'm trying to defend the act. Absolutely not. You know that.
No, you've never defended any act of terrorism.
For someone to say that this was not provocative or not insightful, come on, that's ignorant.
It is provocative, but we shouldn't have to change what we want to do based on a potential reaction from one particular segment of our society. Because I'm going back. Let's talk about the movie that depicted Jesus as gay. You can imagine the number of people that were horrified, but nobody for a single second expected somebody to go and open fire when there was all the outrage. The Book of Mormon, the musical, is deeply offensive to my Mormon friends. Nobody for a second expected anyone to go and open fire. We shouldn't change. We shouldn't change. Right,
yeah.
Okay. But here's my point, Fahim.
But I think, Simon, the point your listeners need to understand, it's not Islam that is promoting that idea. It's the blasphemy laws. It's the politics in Muslim countries that used religion to silence debate and dissent. My community, the Ahmadiyya Muslim community, guess what happened to us for this reformist ideology that we stand up for, the revival of Islam? They considered us heretics. They put me in jail if I said the same things in Pakistan. So this is the politics. Mm-hmm. These people want to stay in politics. They're bringing the same political ideology. Talk of social media. You can go on my Twitter timeline earlier today. There's this leader from Pakistan who's saying this was the right thing to do, and I questioned him. I challenged him on public forum. I said, show me one verse from Quran that says that you should kill someone. Mm-hmm. And he retorted, he said, show me one verse that says you shouldn't or you can't. I'm like, if this is your best argument, mm-hmm. then good luck. You know, this is just crazy. That's the kind of politics they're bringing to our country now.
And listen, I could just as easily find somebody that would come and scream that all the infidels should die. I could easily find that person and bring them on my show. I don't do that. I choose to bring you on because at the end of the day, I am very aware, I have many Muslim friends, I am very aware that the vast majority of Muslims who live in our country do not want to kill us. The perception is, however, that they do. That's the perception. Right. So people like you who are rare, who are prepared to stand up, I value immensely. But I've got to come back to this one thing, because you're right when you say Pam Geller was provocative. You are absolutely right. I don't care if you call her a narcissist or anything else you want to call her. That's America. We're allowed to do that. And she's got broad shoulders, and she'll fight back if she chooses to. But with words. My point, Fahim, is you kind of indicated that her provocation, based on what the Pope said, should expect a punch in the mouth. So should the provocation of the Book of Mormon have expected a punch in the mouth?
No, not at all. You know, I'm not justifying it. All I'm saying is, let's talk about freedom of speech, but let's not create exceptions. We all hurt at different places. Pam Geller, or nobody would. We would. Our social code, Simon, would not allow us to say homophobic things the way we used to say 50 years ago. Our social code will stop us from using an N-word on media. We have these social codes. When we do that, we expect a strong reaction. If you come to me in downtown Baltimore, where I live, and you go on the street and say somebody an N-word, you can expect a certain response. That's all I'm saying. That is all I'm saying. I'm not justifying that response. All I'm saying is, it really makes me question the judgment of the person. Either the person is working with a very few neurons in their head, or they have a purpose. They actually want that punch because that's what's going to get them the attention and the dollars, in all due respect. That's all I'm saying. And it's pretty obvious that there is no third option here. Either they're working with very few neurons, or they want more attention.
And I'm not disagreeing with what you're saying, but if you go down to, and we're going to talk about Baltimore in a minute, but if you go down to downtown Baltimore and you use that word, and you're white, because if you use that word and you're black, you get an entirely different response. But if you use that word and you're white, if you say that word, you can expect a response. I agree with you. It's an illegal response.
Agree, and we both agree on that.
Right,
you know,
okay.
You'll never have me say that this is, come on. Killing, I always say that even threatening is not acceptable.
Exactly right.
Threaten people. You just fight back with your words, come with a better idea. This is a marketplace of ideas.
Exactly. You're a smart man. You're a smarter man than me, Dr. Eunice. Far smarter man than me. But I feel that in a debate on this kind of thing, I can hold my own with you, and I enjoy having you on. You just pointed out you live in downtown Baltimore. We're going to talk about that in a minute. We're going to pause very briefly, and then we'll continue the conversation with Dr. Fahim Yunus from Muslim America, which is hard to pronounce until you've done it about 800 times. More with Dr. Yunus straight ahead. News Radio 1040 WHO.
Live and local, first and fast. News Radio 1040 WHO.
We're in the middle of a conversation with somebody who's become my friend over the years, and that is Dr. Fahim Yunus from Muslim America. The Ahmad... I can never do the second part. You do the second part,
the
Fahim.
The Ahmadiyya Muslim Community.
The Ahmadiyya.
Muslim community.
I want to add more syllables to that. The Ahmadiyya Muslim Community. Dr. Yunus, we've talked about what the events in Texas last night and indeed free speech, a little bit of free speech we've discussed. But while we've got you, I want to deal with the other side of everything here, because you just pointed out you live and indeed have lived for a long period of time in Baltimore. So let's talk about how the city is right now. What's the atmosphere in the city right now?
Yeah, I live just a few miles away from downtown Baltimore. There has been a simmering anger in Baltimore for the past few decades. You know, if you really drive down the downtown, if you go through certain pockets, you realize that this is no different than the problems with Cleveland or Detroit or St. Louis. I've been to all those cities, or Milwaukee. In fact, it's much more pronounced here. 24% of people in downtown Baltimore live below the poverty line. There are counties, you know, there are areas in Baltimore City, Simon, where the life expectancy is lesser than North Korea.
Mm-hmm.
That's the fact. So with that kind of a problem, now with this tragedy, when this happened, I got a call from someone who works in the government, and they said, right next to the CVS that was burned in the epicenter of these riots, there's a senior citizen's shelter. Mm-hmm. And they did not have any way of getting dinner that night. And he called me and he said, can your Ahmadiyya Muslim group come and provide the dinner? I was at work seeing patients.
Yep.
And I said, absolutely. I started making few phone calls. The men and women of our group, they rose up to the occasion.
Yep.
And that's what made me go there that night. And when we were delivering food, we were talking to people, we realized this huge amount of distrust. People over there, they look at everyone as coming in with an agenda. They look at politicians, media, Al Sharptons. Everybody is tainted with an agenda. Mm. So we as a religious group wanted to stay clear of that and just go and serve people.
Mm-hmm. And that's a very powerful thing. There's a few very interesting things because, of course, this was originally portrayed, and indeed, there's police have been charged. There's going to be a court case. Hopefully, we'll find out what really happened with the death of Freddie Gray, and we'll move on. Once we've found that out, we'll move on, and hopefully till the next time things will return to quiet normality. But here's the thing, and of course no one wants to talk about this, the only cop, the only one charged with the murder of Freddie Gray
is an African American.
Is black. Yeah.
Yep.
No one wants
That's
to talk
right.
about
and
that.
Not just that, the mayor is African American.
Oh, I know.
The attorney general is African American.
The police commissioner is African American. Yeah, the police commissioner as well is African American. But here's the real thing, and I know you're going to hate me for this, but we'll get over it. Here you've got a city that has been in the control of one political party for a long time now, a very long time. Doesn't even have a thumbprint of the other political party on it. They've tried their experimentation. In the last 50 years, your city has lost 400,000 people from its population. It's high taxes, it's high unemployment, it's high on poverty, it's high on welfare, and we've seen the experiment. It doesn't work. And
what we now need,
but no one will vote the other way. You notice I didn't even name the political parties involved. But nobody's going to vote the other way. They're just not. And it's hard to see how this resolves itself ultimately until people finally wake up and realize that it is in the politicians' interest to keep you down, keep you poor, and keep you on welfare until people realize that it can't change.
You're right. And first of all, I don't hate you for saying that at all.
Well, it's your city. I don't want to insult you.
Yeah. No, that's fine. But I think the issue is there is a reason why I proudly belong to a spiritual party, the Ahmadiyya Muslim community, mm-hmm. and not to any political party.
Me neither. I'm an independent.
Yeah, absolutely. We have seen. This is the whole problem. The problem is, to me, is not Democrat or Republican. I don't vote along party lines anymore. I vote along issues. Mm-hmm. If I agree with an issue of the Republican Party, I love their fiscal responsibility, I love their idea of small government, I'll vote for that.
Mm-hmm.
So there are issues which we have to stand up for, and I believe that is where America is going very fast, where people are not going to simply toe party lines, and people will be called out, actually, for voting en bloc. We cannot do that. We have to vote along the lines of justice and fairness, and you're right. This is precisely why the people in downtown Baltimore, when you go there to West North Avenue in the intersection of Pennsylvania today, there is a reason people look at everyone with distrust, because precisely of these things, that somebody's trying to keep them poor so they can continue to get votes, and the other party simply wants to continue to bash them. So it's just very, very complicated in a city where there's drug problems. And we are simply, again, our group stands for love for all, hatred for none. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you, when this happened, we had an emergency meeting of our cabinet that night, 10:30 at the night. We're getting together, calling people on a weeknight in a spiritual volunteer organization. And the consensus in our group was that people, the children in Baltimore City, they're suffering. They simply need love. They don't need anything else. Nobody's given them genuine love. People look at them as votes, as commodities. We as a group will go in. We will not be able to give love to 5 million people or whatever the number is, but we will do the small good that we can and not complain about the big problem, because that's something we can't solve.
Dr. Fahim Yunus, fascinating conversation with you as always. I appreciate you taking the time, sir. We will get you back on, I assure you.
Thank you very much for your time, and be well. Take care.
Take care. And that's going to do it for a Monday. My thanks to my guest today, and my thanks to, of course, executive producer extraordinaire, Mr. Carsten Lundy. Thank you very much, Carsten. Mainly my thanks to you guys. You already know it's never the same without you. Dodge the storms would be my advice for tonight. We will be back at 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon to do it all over again. We should have Dr. Ben Carson, but we're not 100% certain because of what's going on in his family right now. But whatever it is, we'll be here at 4, and whatever you guys are doing tonight, have a great night. Good night!